The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 412. I hope all is well with you out there. Thank you for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast, and most importantly, I hope you're staying warm. I know in Central Ohio, it has been frigid these last few days. Which actually has helped me out with a little project that I do every year for new listeners. I put in a ice rink in my backyard. So this cold weather has helped out to make some great ice, but it certainly is doing a lot of damage, not only here in Central Ohio, but all around the United States. So I would like to know whoever pissed off Mother Nature. I hope they apologize because she is certainly taking out her vengeance on us all. And I think most of the listeners out there can't wait until we get above freezing and stay above freezing for a while. So, but you know what? You're not here to listen to me rant about the weather. No. You're here to listen to a great independent comic book creator talk to me about their projects. And that individual I am referring to is Anthony D. Stokes, the creator of Tap or Die and a few other projects that we're going to discuss. Anthony was on in July of 2023 when he first released issue one of Tap or Die, and he's back to talk about issue two. In fact, there's going to be a Kickstarter beginning very, very soon. It should be out by the end of January for the second issue of Tap or Die. And Anthony sits down with me and chats about the comic itself, which is a wrestling-based comic, so you know I'm going to love it, as well as talking about Intrusive Thoughts, American Yakuza, Decay, and a few other projects that he has happening. And interestingly enough, we also go down an avenue that I didn't think we would go down, and that is this topic of gatekeeping in independent comics. I gotta be honest with you, I didn't think that that would go on at that level, but Anthony shares some experiences about how some people have tried to, I don't want to say wreck his career, but I mean kind of make it very difficult for him to be a creative individual in the independent comic book world. But before we get into my conversation with Anthony, I need to let you know about the greatest sponsor on the face of the planet. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. I tell you every time I read this copy how great World's Greatest Comics is. It is an awesome comic book store. It is located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But I know many of you are like, I'm listening somewhere else. I'm nowhere near Central Ohio, John, and I'd like to check out the store. Well, you could check out the store by going to @WGComics on Facebook or checking out their website, WGComics.com, and you can see everything that they have from the single issues to the graphic novels to collections. They got literally hundreds of boxes of back issues. You need to fill a hole in your collection, I guarantee you, Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest can help you do that. Take it from me. There is so much stellar stuff down there at the store. You got to check it out. And again, if you're in Central Ohio, you know it's located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, because I just told you that a few minutes ago. And also, check out their website, WGComics.com, and their Facebook page, @WGComics. I'm telling you, they're very active on that Facebook page, always talking about new releases, stuff that's coming into the store. And you know what? I've told you enough. I've reminded you the street address, the website, the Facebook. I've told you how great it is. It's up to you now to check it out. And again, I want to thank the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Anthony D. Stokes. Ladies and gentlemen, I am joined this evening by a gentleman that is making his second appearance on the PVD cast. Anthony D. Stokes, how are you doing, man?
What's up, man? I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. You were on in July talking about your wrestling comic called Tap or Die, which we will get into here in a few minutes. But I see recently you were in New Orleans. How'd it go?
Oh, it went phenomenal. I went to Fan Expo New Orleans. I met Pat Shan there, or I was with Pat Shan and his friend Juan, and we had a great time. Saw the city, didn't get too crazy, you know, still had a job to do.
Did you get rid of all of your issues? Because I think that I saw a tweet or a Facebook post that you were sold out.
I didn't sell out of everything, but I'll say this, so this is my first time traveling for a con. So I grabbed a huge suitcase, like 62-inch suitcase, and I'm packing it full of comics, but only like one half. And I realized, oh, there are weight limits. So I was like, okay, 100 pounds, you can't fly. So I took some stuff out, weighed me. I was at 74 pounds. When I came back, it was at like 20 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's great. Real good. Yeah, great weekend.
You know, I saw that a lot of the creators I know here in Columbus, it was kind of a little bit of a class reunion. I saw a lot of them where we went down to New Orleans. So I was curious about how that con was. I've never been to the city. I've never been to that con. So would you recommend it?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a great show. It's a great city. A lot of good food. You know, people are super friendly, you know.
Okay.
Any city where you can drink in public is great.
I was just going to say, you didn't get too wild, but I'm sure some folks maybe did.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right, well, let's talk about Tap or Die. It's a wrestling comic that you admit has got a little bit of an edge to it, which makes yours unique from some of those other wrestling comics. Can you give the listeners a little summary of the tale?
Absolutely. So it's about a guy who basically, in order to get revenge on the league commissioner who screws him over, he goes on a mission to become the ultimate heel, to be a villain of the Federation. And in doing so, makes a lot of enemies, makes some friends.
And that main character's name is Domino, correct?
Domino, yep.
What, or who I should say, was the inspiration for Domino?
Domino, so really, there's no like really hard inspirations for any characters. It's more or less kind of like, that's not true, because the commissioner Dick is based off of Vince and Dana White. But Domino is more so just represents like anger and like frustration with one's place in the world, essentially.
Okay. And he feels like, you know, he wants to get this revenge in order to make everything right in his mind, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he wants to be the best wrestler on the planet.
And there's another main character, Iris, that maybe we should talk about.
Absolutely.
How does she fit into the plot of Tap or Die?
So Iris is Domino's love interest and also Dick's, the villain, you know, the Vince kind of Dana White character. That's her uncle. So Iris is kind of caught in the middle and can off act as a buffer between Domino and Dick, and also can be a tool that Domino can use sometimes to like for protection in some cases.
So real quickly for the listeners at home, Dick is the actual name of the commissioner, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You're not just in case people were confused, like, boy, he's calling him a dick. Well, that's his name. So it's not, not a slang term to describe his personality. That's his name in the comic. Okay. So you're gearing up for issue number two. Without giving away too much, Anthony, what can folks expect when they pick up issue number two?
So we set up the characters, but I think we just developed the characters more. Like all of the main characters get a moment or two dealing with each other. Like the triangle of Domino, Dick, and Iris, they all get a moment with each other individually. And, you know, it's going to get into more of the characters, get into more of the world building.
Do you have the ending already planned out for how Tap or Die is going to end?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. How many issues do you think that's going to take?
I think 12. I'm sitting on 12 right now.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a Kickstarter that's coming soon for Tap or Die 2. Give us all the details. Like, what can folks get if they plunk down their hard-earned money to support the project? Stretch goals, various different bits of information about the Kickstarter campaign. So, first of all, when does it kick off?
It's gonna. I'm waiting on two covers, to get done by two. You know, some very talented artists. So it might be the last week of January. I think is the most likely. That's the safe. Maybe that last Tuesday, and then you know it'll probably be like a 21-day campaign. And then it's just gonna be this one is gonna be a lot of covers, a lot of cool covers by a lot of great artists, like Sinchiro. Who's a like more of a manga artist, did an amazing cover with Iris. We got Zine is doing a cover. We have what's going to be interesting is a Royal Rumble kind of like homage cover that's going to be, that I'm very excited about, which I think is going to be one of our best sellers, one of our best variants. So very excited.
And that's timely with the Royal Rumble coming up at the end of the month as well. So
it's funny how that works out, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that was very shrewd of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, but what's some of the perks or some of the other besides is just the covers the only main perk or stretch goal or whatnot that folks can expect? Or do you have some others planned, but you're kind of waiting to see?
We're waiting to see. You know, it's always you don't want to overpromise. As far as like what's going to be coming.
Absolutely. Let's talk real quickly about some of those other characters, those auxiliary characters or secondary characters. Who's maybe your favorite, removing Iris and Domino, who's maybe your favorite as the creator of this book, your favorite character?
We have a character that's going to be a relative to Domino that's going to be coming. Who's going to be a phenomenal character. I really enjoy the character of Dick.
Okay.
I think he is very slimy. He's very like, you're never going to see, he's never going to show his true colors, but he also loves his niece. You know, they have a great relationship, which is strength by the whole situation. And it's going to be some great villains that we're going to get into really soon.
Well, let's move on and talk about a couple of your other projects, even though I know Tap or Die is the main focus here. And we'll circle back to that here in a little bit. Let's talk real quickly about Intrusive Thoughts.
Yeah.
You put out that book, I believe, last year in the springtime, or was it a summertime release? I don't recall.
Oh, Intrusive Thoughts number 2 came out October.
October. Okay, October. So what's the status of that project? You obviously probably still have plenty of other issues and other topics to tackle with that title. So what's the general overall status?
We're going forward. We just finished issue 2. We just wrapped up issue 2. We're about to fund. I think I got like 20 more packages to ship out for 2. And then we're going to head on to 3. And then we got like a lot of stuff, lot of stuff coming out in between 2 and 3. Whole lot of titles coming out.
And we'll talk about a few more of those. But you mentioned that Tap or Die has the theme of like anger and rage and how Domino has to deal with that and channel that. Does Intrusive Thoughts have a theme that connects as well?
Yeah, all my releases so far have more or less dealt with mental issues. To a certain degree of subtlety or what have you. My first series, Decay, was about grief and anger to a lesser degree, but grief. Intrusive Thoughts was about anxiety, you know, depression, loneliness. My comic book Gods Were Dead or my manga Gods Were Dead is about hopelessness. Yeah, so a little bit everything on that I've read so far kind of has an element. I don't know what you would call that, like mental ailment. I don't know, but something like that. Yeah.
Why did you think it was important to incorporate that into your books?
So, when I'm writing a story, I inject some of myself into the story so I can get locked in, so I can be personally invested. And also because I have a certain level of empathy with the character. And it's just, and it also, I think comics work really well when there's an element of human drama, like real human drama. So it just works out that way. You know, I don't think every comic I'll ever make, I'll use that. But to start off, that felt like a safe bet.
And I know that we talked previously when you joined me here in July that, you know, the way in which society looks at mental illness has gotten much better over the years.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure maybe you would agree with me on this. I think, you know, when I look back and think about, you know, my parents, you know, they grew up in an era where, you know, tough it up.
Yeah.
Don't show your emotions, you know, push it down inside, just deal with it that way. And I feel like now that is a radical 180 from that time period. Do you agree that, you know, the treatment, the therapies, the whatnot, the overall attitude, I guess you could say, is better for mental health?
Yeah, the stigma has been removed, which is good. And it's getting to a point where, yeah, like, no, I think we've done great as a society in terms of like trying to like raise awareness for this stuff, removing the stigma and, you know, letting people deal with what they're dealing with and helping them get the help they need.
Okay. Absolutely. Because life is tough a lot of times and it's hard to sometimes navigate the world when you aren't thinking clearly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on here and talk a little bit about the last time you were on. You talked about a little publishing deal you had, and can we talk about American Yakuza?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, it's actually in pre-launch. Yeah,
Yakuza.
Yeah, American Yakuza, man. I think that's one of my most excited releases for next year. I got it writing with my boy Chris Moses and Charlie McElvey. We got a very talented young artist in Damiano Restivo. And then we got John Rauch, who colored Invincible, to do the colors. And I've seen a little bit of the coloring, and it looks incredible.
What's the basic tale for American Yakuza?
It's hard. Yeah, it's about a guy, because the premise is in the title, and the full title. I'm not going to pull up the full title. But essentially, it's a guy who's an MMA fighter, and he gets involved in this conspiracy with the Yakuza and has to go to Japan and fight them and figure some stuff out. So it's like, you know, John Wick, Ichi the Killer, Succession. I call it Succession with swords, basically. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So how was the process of working with all those gentlemen on that book? Was it a pretty good experience of working with all these very talented individuals?
Absolutely. So me and Chris, this is our first book writing together, and it was painless, you know. It was completely painless. I felt like, you know, we both brought something to it, and it was great. Charlie really, you know, so part of the theme of Tap or Die is being gatekept by the older wrestlers, right? And mm-hmm. and Tap or Die, I don't know if I mentioned this, is a metaphor for how I feel I've been treated in the comic book industry by the older.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, a million percent. I have so many damn stories. But Charlie's the opposite of that. Charlie kind of just gave us the freedom and gave us the space to make something and stepped in when he felt like he needed to. And after that, honestly, I haven't dealt too much with the artist and the colorist. I kind of just stepped away and just went on about my career. But I'm really excited about that. I mean, I'll pop in and give notes or what have you. But really, I mean, as a writer, it's like the perfect gig. I write it and I can go. I'm free to do, you know, whatever else, you know.
Okay, you piqued my interest. And if yes. you don't mind, I would like to explore that real quick,
what
you
sure.
just said a few minutes ago. So you have found gatekeeping in comics, and I know it happens with the big companies, right? Like DC, Marvel, there's lots of stories about that, but at an independent level there's that type of gatekeeping that exists.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm a boisterous personality. I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, so you know. Domino, it is. I did put a lot of my personality there. I felt like when I was making comics, when I came into the comic zone, kind of comic area, to me, it was a lot of self-defeatist, kind of humble braggy, kind of like, oh, I did a thing, kind of stuff going on, which is fine. I think people need that. But I felt like, okay, I can stand out and help motivate people by being a little bit more boisterous, a little bit more bold, abrasive. You know, not unlike wrestling. And a lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people did not like that. And I got a lot of remarks. I got a lot of stuff. I mean, one person told me that I can't comment on this stuff because I haven't made this much on Kickstarter, or I haven't run this many Kickstarters. One dude kind of used the carrot of the stick of joining a very popular anthology that he's on to be like, hey, you should act a certain way, you know. And I would be like, yo, bro, like, what do you want me to do? He'd be like, oh, I don't want you to do anything, you know. It was so much different. Yeah, a lot of weirdo stuff. A lot of stuff that you would be like, what? Excuse me? Like, but that's what was going on. And I think a lot of it stemmed from being new. I thought a lot of it stemmed from being abrasive. But if you're mature, if you're more experienced, you should be offering advice. You shouldn't be just shitting on people, you know, like.
That sounds like high school bullshit. Like high school drama bullshit. That, like, I don't... Oh, yeah. I'm blown away by that. So let me ask. This obviously was this done through social media?
Social media, YouTube, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So Keyboard Cowboys is basically what we're talking about.
I say keyboard warriors, but I mean more. No, exactly. Exactly. And then 100%. And I think it's just people being intimidated. I mean, it's easy to say, right? But I think it's people. And look, we don't have to agree, you know, to everything, you know, 100%. We're going to disagree. And that's fine. But once somebody tries to dictate to me how I'm going to act, and they're not even giving advice, they're kind of like, you know, yes, there is gatekeeping in indie comics, and there's people have philosophies, and you know what? Different philosophies are going to bump up against each other when you're in a creative field and a competitive field. But I feel like people didn't fight fair in a lot of ways. You know, I tried to keep it specific to the process of making comics, but a lot of people made it personal, you know?
Wow. I gotta be honest. I've never experienced that. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody. And maybe other creators have, they just don't want to speak about it. And again, that's their choice. I think,
yeah.
You know, I think that not just in comics, if I can just, I'll get the soapbox out for a minute, Anthony. I feel like nowadays society makes you not want to express your opinion because your opinion's right. My opinion's right. And therefore we're going to argue over it. We can't just accept that you have a different opinion than I have a different opinion. Like, and be like decent human beings.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's like, we can just disagree and make our own stuff. We can make our own comics. I don't get why people had such a problem with certain technique. People gatekeep with techniques. It's weird to me in a field that's supposed to be independent. And what's also odd to me is that all these people that are, they enjoy anti-authoritarian media. They love Star Wars. They love wrestling. They love rap music. They love all metal. They love grunge. They love all these things that are about being abrasive and brash and anti-establishment. But then when somebody brings that to the industry, where we're all writing about that stuff, it's like, oh wow, people want to be the establishment. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And again, I'm. Like I said, shocked that this goes on at the independent level. I really, I just kind of assumed naively, I assumed everybody got along, you know, because again, as you said, you're out there creating art. The stereotype of artists are that you're free thinking, that you're open minded, that you're, you know, all those things. And wow. Okay. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Anthony for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are a one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got your fandom covered. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or follow them online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. Well, you know what? Let's switch gears for a minute. Let's talk a little wrestling. Last time you were on, you talked that one of your favorites of all time, The Rock. And I want to get your opinion. What do you think about his return a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Raw?
phenomenal. I mean, he's literally box office. He's amazing.
It made me think that I was back in 1998.
Hell yeah, that's a good film.
Yeah, that
hell
is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about wrestling is that it's so nostalgic, right? A lot of things are just in essence nostalgic, and wrestling is one of those things. Like you buy into it, you know, you buy into the fantasy, which is inherently, I'm not saying it's childish, but it's childlike, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So I hope people understand what I mean by that.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. It's childlike because I would say that it's because most of us started watching when we were children.
That's also true. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So, you know, and then as we grow, we're still fans. We have, yeah, sure. We have some immaturity. We have some childlike tendencies because we love that sport. We love that entertainment, whatever you want to call it. To me, I still call it a sport. Some people correct me. That's fine. That's cool. Again, we can disagree on that. To me, it's a sport. So besides The Rock, you also like Stone Cold. Is there any other maybe newer wrestlers that you're a fan of?
Yeah, there's a character on my covers that looks a lot like Alexa Bliss, but you know, it's not her, you know.
Okay.
It's not her for sure. Don't ask.
Okay, gotcha. Do you ever sit and think about like dream matches that those matches we never got? You know, like Andre the Giant and the Big Show. Like that would have been an amazing dream match. Do you have any of those? Or
oh yeah, as a sports fan, you have those, right? Like yeah. I'm big into football. I'm big into basketball. Like oh my god, Bill Russell versus like Shaq or you know something like that. Like so, of course you had those. You know.
Yeah, gotcha. Can you name any off the top of your head or
like the Rock and Ric Flair would be great.
Oh yeah, if you could get prime time Flair against the Rock, that would be amazing.
Amazing, yeah. Just complete, just decadence and just, yeah, oh, it'd be amazing.
It's good stuff. I don't know. I'm going to ask this real quick. Did you go see the Iron Claw or are you interested in seeing the
Iron Claw? I need to see it. You reminded me. I do need to go see that. I was sick the week before last, the week of New Year's, I was sick and then I was in New Orleans last weekend. So I didn't even get a chance to see it.
Okay. Gotcha. Cool.
I hope.
I'll hold my opinion. I'll hold my opinion on it. I went and saw it two weekends ago, and I enjoyed it. I will say that. But there's a couple of things I kind of had a problem with, but that's okay.
Okay. Interesting.
That's all
okay.
Right. You know, it is what it is. That's, you know, I still liked it. I still thought it was good. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the YouTube channel. Is it still on hiatus?
Yeah, it's still how it is. We're focusing on making comic books. We made a comic book called Exorcist Club with the guy Chris Moses I mentioned earlier. So we've just been rocking and rolling. Not that I'll never go back to YouTube. My goal is actually to become a full-time creator so I can work on YouTube. But not in the cards right now.
Okay. Now, refresh my memory, and I think maybe we talked about this. How did you first hook up with Chris Moses?
We were in Twitter spaces. We were both came out around the same time. And you were just really cool. And Chris is like, we had a similar, there's a lot of like disingenuousness that I find. And you just, or you know what, let me not go there. You find a group of people that think like you stick to them in the field and you go from there. But I know him for like a year. Almost 2 years now.
Okay, cool. You have any other collaborators that you would like to highlight real quick for your various projects that you think, you know, deserves a little shout out, if you will?
Emilio Utera does Tap or Die, the inks for Tap or Die, and he's phenomenal. My guy Pat Shane, who I was with this weekend, it's like my older brother, man. We got some stuff in the pipeline, hopefully. And Richard Fairgray, we actually had a short in anthology, which was really good. And I got a lot, man. I collaborate with a lot of people.
Okay. What's the key attribute you look for when you collaborate with somebody?
Really talent.
Okay.
Truthfully talent. Like just communication, diligence, and then like what's the vibe, you know? It's like if you have two to three. You need to be professional, I guess you could say professionalism, vibes, and talent. because you'll work with an artist who's less talented than another one if you like talking to them and if they're consistent. If the artist is super talented but is late, you know, you and then the vibes are bad, then you're not going to want to work with them.
What would be one piece of advice you give somebody that's new to the comic scene?
I would say your interiors are never good enough.
Oh, okay.
Your interiors are never good enough. Always try to improve on your interiors.
Okay. Okay. So that never settle for just good enough. You know, try to always shoot for that perfection.
Always try to push the envelope on interiors. Like my goal is to always drop better and better interiors. And I think, you know, I think Tap or Die is my best looking book. I think Tap or Die 2 is going to look good, if not better. And then I got other stuff that's going to respectively look better than Tap or Die, right? Because that's the goal.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's go back for a minute and talk about New Orleans for a minute, because I forgot to ask you a question about comic book conventions in general. You've gone to lots of them throughout the calendar year of 2023 and experienced all different types. What do you think is maybe the key thing that a comic book convention must have? Like, there's no argument about it. It must have this attribute above all others.
It's got to have foot traffic, right? Like, just plainly put, and it has, you know, because if you don't have foot traffic, you're not going to make any sales, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
The cons where I do best is where people are like moving through.
Okay. You have any already scheduled for 2024? I know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you want to run those down real
sure.
quick?
Sure. Tidewater Comic Con, I got accepted to. Awesome Con is in March. And then back, I have two cons back to back. I have Awesome Con, and then I have GalaxyCon Richmond back to back. So that's going to be a good week. That's probably going to be that'll probably be the most money I make in a calendar week ever. Because I do good at those shows.
I've been to Awesome Con. It's a pretty good convention. Where's it held at, can I ask?
Awesome Con is in Raleigh, Richmond, I think Columbus, Ohio, and probably some other places I can't think of.
Okay, okay. Awesome Con. Because I went to the one in D.C. one year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I was meaning. Like, I think – I can't remember what the venue was called, where it was at. Shoot, I don't remember. But I have a friend that lives in the D.C. area, and he was like, hey, man, you should come down because – you know, you got all these individuals. Actually, if I may, if you indulge me for a moment, I'll tell a kind of a cool story about that.
Hell yeah.
So I go down there, and it's a long weekend for me. So I said the one thing I really, really, really wanted to do was I wanted to go see the African American History Museum. I wanted to go see it because it's one thing. I've been to D.C. many times before as, you know, like a younger man and then as a kid and whatnot. But so it was brand new. And my buddy was like, okay, cool. So we tried to get tickets and they were sold out. And I had went to go ask a security guard about the procedure. Like, how do you get tickets? And he said, well, you have to log on to this website and probably usually by like 8 o'clock in the morning, they're sold out. I'm like, okay, cool. And so as I went to walk away with my friend, this security guard goes, hey, are you guys police? No. Okay, because if you were police, you know, we would let you in if you're first responders. Are you firefighters? No. Are you paramedics? No, sir, we're not. And my friend just jokingly said, I'm American Red Cross. I work for them. Oh, yeah. You go on in. You tell them James said you can go on in. I'm like, huh? Okay. Yeah. So we go in and my buddy's like, we are not first responders. I don't know what this guy's talking about. I'm like, shut up. We're getting into the museum that I want to see. But the coolest part is we're there and we run into John Barrowman from Arrow. It was also taking the tour and we came around the corner and he was there and we're like, oh, hey, how you doing? And he's like, fine, how are you? We're like, we saw you yesterday at Awesome Con. And he's like, yes, it was a great show. And, you know, I'm enjoying the museum. He was a super cool dude. He was awesome. But but that was my story about Awesome Con. That was probably the highlight of the weekend.
Hell yeah, that sounds lit. I loved it. I love the African American Museum. I love Awesome Con. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, yeah. The museum was awesome. I just got to say, just to me, amazing, awesome. I learned some new things I didn't even know. You know, so I mean, overall, it was a great experience. I recommend it to anybody and everybody that says they're going to Washington, D.C., that they need to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, any other appearances that you're going to make? We got off on a side story there for a moment. So,
Awesome Con, hopefully Hampton Comic Con, Fairfax, Baltimore, hopefully. What else? Yeah, that's probably going to be it.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, I've got one more question, Anthony. Then we'll hit the Kickstarter one more time, get some plugs for social media, website, and all that jazz. So last question. If you were given the opportunity, all right, to cast Tap or Die, your baby there, as a movie, since we talked about the Iron Claw, who would you cast for the roles of Domino, Iris, and Dick?
Huh. I don't know why. John Goodman for Dick, I feel like, would be great. Tessa Thompson for Iris, for sure. And then I'm going to say John Boyega.
Oh, okay. Okay.
For Domino.
That's a good choice. I like that. And I agree with you. I think John Goodman could play a sleazy guy, a sleazy wrestling promoter, hands down. Yeah, absolutely. All right, with that, Anthony, let's talk about website, social media. Let's talk about the Kickstarter one more time. So can you run that down for us?
Absolutely. So I'm on Twitter, at StokesTheWriter, on Instagram, instagram.com/DecayComic. I'm and the Kickstarter is Tap or Die 1-2 on Kickstarter. And American Yakuza is, if you search American Yakuza Kickstarter, it'll come up.
All right, there you go. Any other things you want to tell the listeners real quick? Anything at all?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you, Anthony, for stopping by and chatting with me this evening.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Anthony Stokes, talking about his comic Tap or Die and his various other projects as well. And I hope you definitely check out what Anthony's doing, because he's certainly got some really interesting and creative books coming your way. So, all right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a comment about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDNVP. You can drop me a line on Facebook, Instagram, or Threads. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. And let some folks know about this podcast. In fact, tell them that there's a bunch of different ways they can check out each episode. First, obviously, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the number one place to get every single episode, but it's also available through all of those podcasting applications like Spotify, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, Deezer, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Now, here's the important thing. If you listen through your favorite podcasting app or outlet, let them know that you love the show. And you could do that by rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing pushes me up in the algorithm and it helps out with the rating of the PVDcast. And it lets those companies know that you're listening. So all you got to do is just give me as many stars as you think I deserve, which, I mean, probably is going to be 5 stars. I mean, why not? Anyways, and also just leave a little review. And you don't have to write a lot. You could just write down good episode, loved it, whatever. But again, it's super important, especially for independent podcasters, that you rate and review. And heck, while you're there, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss a brand new episode of the PVDcast. But there's a couple of other ways where you can hear it. First off, every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live Facebook broadcast that you can listen to through the Facebook page. So that's an easy way to hear it. And you can also hear the PVD cast through CROC Radio, Croc Radio, out of British Columbia. I'm telling you, it's the hottest independent internet radio station out there today. And I'm proud to have the PVD cast air on Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through CROC Radio. Definitely check out all the great shows that they have on that network, as well as the PVD cast. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I thank you once again for checking out this episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.